And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from California. Today is Friday, August the 16th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 4, page 48, and we agnostics, starting with the first paragraph, the reader may still ask why. We're going to read through two paragraphs ending in reasonable assumption as a starting point. So we'll be commenting on both of these paragraphs. Today's readers are Karen B. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E. B., Don B., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice P. M. and Reggie O. for our announcements. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, August 15, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,284. That's 13284. And the share ID for our this morning's meeting, Friday, August 16th, our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 13,286. That's 13286. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Karen B. to read our 12 steps. Karen? Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone. This is Karen B. in Northern Utah with the 12 steps. Step number one, we admitted we were powerless over food. Their lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for letting me.
Well, thank you, Karen B. Thank you for your service this morning. And now we'll hear from Athena B. for our 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning, everyone. This is Athena B. from Northern California, and these are our traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
Well, thank you, Athena B., for your service this morning.
You're welcome.
Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and that does include your mute button, so please use star 1 and not your mute button so we can have a quieter meeting. Thanks so much for that. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in on page 48 in chapter 4, We Agnostics. We're reading the first and second paragraph, beginning with "the reader may still ask," and that ends with the assumption as a starting point. So we're going to comment on those both paragraphs this morning. So will Julie E.B. start reading, please. Julie?
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God, and sending my last little one off to school. Might be background noise. We'll see. She's not little anymore. The reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. We think there are good reasons. Let us have a look at some of them. The practical individual today is a stickler for facts and results. Nevertheless, the 20th century readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories, for example, about electricity. Everyone believes them without a murmur of doubt. Why this ready acceptance? Simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. So, what are the facts? Why is it that we should believe? For me, the why, was always a difficult question. Not why I should believe in a God. That came sort of as a part of my childhood and became an important part of getting me through, actually, a very painful and difficult childhood. But that was greater than myself, because through the years, what was a childlike faith that was very powerful and supportive to me in that trauma became somehow pushed to the back in favor of Julie is going to take care of herself because all these grown-ups are crazy. The food is going to take care of Julie, not eating the food, looking down at 12 years old and seeing my fat thighs and starting to run until I was running 100 miles a week. That somehow exercise would take care of me. And it's still true that when I'm out in nature and out moving, I do feel a closeness with my Creator. The desperation of either being in the food and numbing my feelings, or the simple fact of controlling either my food, my exercise, other things I did with my body, that would somehow control my world and make my world and my emotions manageable. That did not work for me. And let's look at the facts. But when we look at the facts, we need to start with a simple assumption. What I'm doing isn't working. There has to be something bigger than just me. I'm used to relying on me. Every time I look into the steps, I say, I don't have the answer. Every time I call my sponsor, I say, this isn't working. Let's really take time to look at the facts of our life, because if I look at the facts of my life, they do not work when I get into self-will. They do not work, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie B., for getting us started. Okay, so just reminding everybody, we're on page 48. The first two paragraphs we're going to be commenting on today. The reader may still ask, ending an assumption as a starting point. Who would like to share on this on these two paragraphs?
Becca R.
Becca?
Yeah, Becca R.
Yes, I hear you, Becca. I'm going to take some more names. Thank you so much. All right, who
Freya
else would
H.
like to jump in while the water's warm?
Freya H.
Freya H. Gotcha, Freya. Everybody thinks it's nice this morning. Yay. All right. Who else would like to share?
Anthony.
Anthony, what's the initial of your last name, Anthony?
S.
S as in Sam?
Yes.
Thank you, Anthony. Okay, and I'll take three more.
LH.
I'm sorry, something H?
Carol.
Carol. Gotcha, Carol. Thank you. All right, two more. Come on in. The water's warm. Jump on in here, folks. Hello?
Anna M.
I'm sorry, something M?
Anna.
Jana M? Okay.
Anna.
Oh, Anna. Sorry about that, Anna.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Gotcha, Anna. And we'll take one more. I'm sorry, somebody was faint back there.
It's Bruce. The last initial is E.
Bruce, you're really far away, so when you come in,
Sally,
here.
Sally N.
Sally, I'll take you on the next round. That was Sally N. I'll take you on the next round. So this is who I have. I have Becca R., Freya H., Anthony S., Carol H., Anna M., and Bruce E. Becca R., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Freya H. Becca?
Hi, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. And I love the reading. I'm so grateful to be on the line this morning. It made me think about my experience when I came to the program a few years ago and having had established a relationship with a higher power that had done some really amazing things in my life. But I just didn't understand that when I read How It Works, the A, B, and C at the very end, with how that would apply and continue to grow and change. And what I mean is that I had settled for a higher power. My higher power would save me from, like I said, other ailments, and had done big things in my life. But I just didn't think that that same higher power had time or could, you know, come into my life and help me with the food stuff. And when I refer to how it works, I think about C, like put in what if you're shot. And I don't want to say I was stagnant in my relationship with God, because I don't think I would have accumulated my sobriety or grown to the point where the food got so uncomfortable that I knew something had to change. But it was definitely lazy seeking, you know, doing just enough. And because of that, it took years. It took years of another program and years of seeking God at a very slow pace to get uncomfortable with what I was doing with the food behind closed doors. And today, it makes me excited to be seeking and actively seeking Him as much as God has done with the food and in my OA recovery, to know it doesn't stop here. You know, the more I seek, the more I grow. And I'm just really excited to see what lies ahead. Grateful to be here. Thanks for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Becca R. Freya H., you're up, followed by Anthony S. Freya?
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. When I read, the first paragraph seems like an introduction. It's appealing to those of us who are, the skeptics in us and those of us who need some kind of logical approach. So it seems like they're kind of starting into, an argument or an explanation of why. And it's the irony of it is that the words that jump out in the next paragraph, it says, simply because it is impossible to explain. So that idea, that's what I get from this paragraph, is that the God concept or the need for a power greater than myself, it's impossible to explain. And that's, just to accept that like I have to, it's like the God beyond my understanding, just really acknowledging that it's outside of my understanding. But that doesn't mean that I can't make use of it. So that's the main thing that I get from this paragraph. And it took me a long time of reading it to really understand. I used to feel like I had to slog through this chapter. Be like, wait, what are they talking about? Where is, what are they trying to say? And it's this message that it can be really simple. That's the main thing I get from this. And if the electricity, I think the electricity example is really good, but if the electricity example doesn't work for you, think of something that does work for you. I've heard like the example of using a GPS, can I, and I love that feeling of like, wow, when I really trust my, my map function on my phone to get me where I'm going, it's like, am I stressing and second guessing it? No, like I can, that's the same type of principle that I can apply to what it's like to let my higher power be in charge of my life. It's like, I'm not worrying. I'm not second guessing. I'm trusting that my higher power is going to get me, through this life, just the same way that I'm trusting that map is going to get me where I need to go. And I don't have to do anything except for just follow the directions and trust that the directions are going to come when I need them. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Frey H. And Anthony S., you're up, followed by Carol H. Anthony?
Hi, I'm Anthony, and I'm a recovered member of OA. Sorry about the background noise. Kind of having a much tighter schedule lately. So I was struggling a lot with issues around food. I remember when it was so bad that I couldn't really be in my house by myself because I was just down everything from ice cream to chocolate to... I'm just going to stop because I know there might be a rule about saying food game, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, it was just really bad. It was taking over, and I felt like I had to just get some help, so I sought help. And I don't know how this works, but it does. I can't really explain to you how it works in detail and with complete, understanding and everything, but all I know is that it does work because my life has been improving. my food has been completely different nowadays. And I mean that. I used to weigh and measure my food with a scale that I got from Bed Bath & Beyond, but now I can eat practically normally. So I am available to sponsor, but I sponsor only men. So men only. And my email address is Anthony Recovery.
Anthony, thank you so much. But we do that at the end of our meeting. We need to have this time for sharing, and we appreciate your share so much. So if you stay at the end of the meeting and give that information, that would be awesome. Thanks, Anthony, for your share. Carol H., you're up, followed by Anna M. Carol?
Hi, this is Carol H., calling from Colorado, compulsive eater. The question, you know, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Because I really don't have another choice. And I know many people that I have run into in program have expressed that, you know, the God thing was a really hard part for them. And gratefully, I heard it could be anything. And when I came in, I was actually looking for a spiritual connection that I didn't have. And I was grateful to learn that it didn't have to have a definition. I didn't have to describe it, where normally I would be one that wanted to be able to explain, like these paragraphs talk about, you know, here's the facts, here's exactly, you know, my however many second elevator speech I could give you on what my higher power is. And I just have to accept that something is there that much greater than me that knows what's best for me in my life and trust it. That's the hard part, is me being the trusting one in my higher power. And I just got back from a trip where I went place myself to meet another group of people that I didn't, actually one person that was going, but I found so many times on that trip where I was, you know, asking higher power, what's next? What should I do? Because there were some things I had never experienced before and things that I had to troubleshoot. And, you know, back for program, which for me is going on 18 years, that was not in my radar. It was for me to figure out. It was just a beautiful experience that I could experience some uncomfortability, yet know at some point something would shift and things would move on. And that's just such a gift. And if people still question, you know, why they should believe, let's look at some of those reasons. I think, you know, the other thing is just to look in the program, hopefully, you know, in rooms and listen to people on lines that you hear that this higher power has worked for them. And then you can trust that, you know, or at least be willing to trust that there's a higher power there for you that will work in the same way. So grateful to share today. I rarely share, but I know I need to do more of that. So thanks for everybody doing service today. And I pass.
Well, thank you, Carol H. And Anna M., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Anna?
Thank you, Anna here. I'm just going to be short, but the first question, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? I absolutely, positively have no choice, because when I manage my life, it is totally unmanageable. And I am desperate enough to believe in a power greater than myself. And I'm grateful for that desperation, because that's what it takes to get me to my knees. And I've accepted that I don't need to know all the answers about my higher power. It doesn't matter the hows and the whys, and all the knowledge, you know, about my higher power is not going to help me at all. I just need to be willing, and I'm willing today, so I'm grateful for that. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Anna M. Bruce E., and before we actually hear from Bruce, I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 48. We're reading the first two paragraphs on 48, and it begins with "the reader may still ask." We're reading through two paragraphs ending in assumption as a starting point. So as soon as we hear from Bruce E., get ready to star one, and we'll sign up more names, and we'll start with Sally N. Bruce, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Bruce E. I hope you can hear me okay. If you can't, let me know. If you can, you don't have to say anything. The reader may ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. Well, I can tell you right off on that one, because I tried it the other way. I tried being God. Excuse me. I tried calling all the shots myself, trying to get rid of the food problem on my own, trying to do all this stuff myself. And this is why I need to believe in a power greater than myself, because I couldn't do it myself. I mean, of course, I was trying to be God. I was trying to be the higher power, and that didn't work. But the food became the great persuader, like it said in the previous paragraph. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. Food was a great persuader. Excuse me. It caused me to think that I couldn't do it myself, and I needed help. And then it goes on to talk about electricity. That's interesting about the electricity, because, you know, I go inside. I don't know how electricity works, just like I don't know how this thing works with me accepting God and letting him help me with the food problem. You know, I don't know how that worked. I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't do the weighing and measuring. I could not eat the alcoholic foods. I'd go back in and get all screwed up again and get mad at myself and then not eat for a while and then go back into it again. So I go upstairs, turn on the light switch, electricity goes on. I don't know how that works. I don't know how, if you turn a switch on, how the electricity can, how you can get light. I don't know how that works. I mean, how is that amazing that you just turn on the light switch, excuse me, and electricity and light comes on. Well, I don't know how, if I turn to God and I pray and I ask him to help me and I go to another recovered person and we go through the steps and all of a sudden I'm recovered. I don't know how that works either. It just happened. So I'm a recovered addict in North Carolina named Bruce, and it just after all these years of trying, playing God, trying to do it myself, I turned to a higher power, worked through a sponsor, and it happened. You know, just like the lights come on. It just happens, but I can't explain it. And I don't know if anybody could sit down and explain to me how electricity works. Maybe they could. Maybe they could try to, or somebody could sit down and try to explain to me how God works, but I don't think I'd get it. You know, it's just beyond me. But I know it works. That's the one thing. I do know it works. And why should I believe in a power greater? Thank you. Why should I believe in power greater myself? Because it works. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Brucey. All right. So we're going to take some more names. We're on page 48. We're reading the first and second paragraph today and comment on those paragraphs.
Irene B.
Okay. I've got Sally N, Devorah S, Eileen B.
Margaret D.
Tamara C.
I'm sorry, C?
Tamara C.
Tamara or Tamara?
Tamara with a T.
Tamara. Thank you, Tamara.
Gina B.
Dr. Tamara C. And who B?
Gina B.
Okay. All right. So this is who I have. Sally N, Devorah S, Irene B, Margaret C, Tamara C, and Gina B. All right, Sally Ann, please go.
Hi, Sally, it's actually, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, great. It's actually Sally A from New York.
Thank you, Sally A. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. So I'm really loving these paragraphs because it really, to me, is the root of the matter. The reader may still ask, why should they believe in a power greater than themselves? Why do I have to believe in a power greater than me? Why can't I go to Barnes & Nobles and read a bunch of books, use my intellect, do some Google research on how do we handle binge eating disorder? I've done all this. And I have gone around and around the block because I couldn't believe this program really was the only solution for me. And so I leaned back into all of my knowledge base and whatever I didn't know, I did some more research and experimenting. And guess what? I just kept gaining weight because none of it was working until I finally reached bottom of me and I finally turned my neck and came back. I made a decision to turn my will over to God because nothing else ever worked for me. So when I see this next sentence, it says, nevertheless, the 20th century really readily accepts theories of all kinds. Please believe me when I tell you, I have done a lot of research, and every theory that is out there, it doesn't work for people like me. Not everyone is like me. I am not like other people either. So it says, provided they are firmly grounded in fact, we have numerous theories. There's lots of books. There's lots of theories. And guess what? If you are like me, if you cannot control your eating, if you cannot stop until it's all gone, if you find yourself thinking constantly about the food, when you find yourself in bed going to sleep and you start thinking about what's in the refrigerators or anything else out there, you might be like me. And guess what? The only solution is my higher power, a power greater than me, because I cannot fix it. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't like that. I like the idea of being able to count on me, that I can somehow control, but I can't. I can't count on me. It doesn't work. And when I turn it over and I give it to God and I finally submit, as someone says in this program, step one is admission. Step 2 through 7 is submission. And that's what I had to do. I had to submit. I had to be open-minded and willing to change my concepts about my God and lay down my intellect, lay down my brainiac thinking, and finally surrender, put up a flag and say, God, please, I'm in the quicksand. Please, I'm willing to grab a hold of your hand or a stick. Pull me out. It works. It really does. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, Sally Ann. Devorah S., you're up, followed by Irene B. Devorah? Star 1 to unmute, please. Devorah S.?
Oh, hi. Sorry, can you hear me?
I can now. Thanks, Devorah.
Thank you. Actually, my name is Devorah S., but it's fine. It's okay. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for your service. I know for myself, personally, why did I need a personal higher power? And the reason is because it came to a point where I realized that I'm so powerless over my mind. It's not just the food. I felt like I'm powerless over the food, but it wasn't just the food. It was really my mind. I really realized I had a mental illness, and I really could not be alone with myself, with my thoughts, because my brain wants to take me down. And it was such a frustrating rock bottom feeling of like, oh my gosh, like I can't even be with myself. Like, I need help. And I was so stuck on this whole God thing because I'm a religious person. I always turn to God. I'm a devout religious person. And for some reason, at the place where I was at, I think that the food was blocking me from God. And I'm like, why is everybody sounding so spiritual? And for me, it's not working. So personally, for me, I started to use fellowship as a higher power initially. I'm like, you know what? Like, I don't know. I don't know how it works. It's just like electricity. I don't know how it works. But for some reason, whenever I'm making a phone call, it's like I'm an insane person, but I get a slap over my head. It's like, snap out of it, you know, like, and suddenly I'm restored to sanity after a phone call. So for myself, I'm like, no, that's it. Like right now, for the time being, fellowship is going to have to be my higher power. And eventually, every time when I called you people out there, you kept directing me to God. And eventually, my God connection started to really take off and have a snowball effect. And so like now that became so much more real for me. And now I can actually tap into this higher power. Now I can finally feel that connection and that same buzz that I used to get from the food. Now I'm so grateful I get it from that higher power. And there's so many miracles, like a waterfall, just totally like so much kindness coming from this higher power. So many things I was never able to do, now it's just happening for me. So I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be part of you, and thank you so much, everybody, for bringing me to this higher power. And with that, I pass.
Devorah S. Irene B., you're up, followed by Margaret C. Irene?
Good morning. This is Irene B., a recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I do say recovering because I will never get over this thing. I have neutrality with the food, but this disease is hiding in the background doing push-ups, just waiting for the right opportunity. So that's just my take. Spiritual experience, believing in God, the cornerstone of our program. My history is that I believed in God. I wanted to be with God. He didn't seem to be there for me. So I went my own way, became my own God. I did not know I was doing that. I just had to be on self-reliance because that's what life demanded from me, and that's what I did. And then I became bulimic. And then I was on my knees at the treatment center feeling totally hopeless. So then I turned to God. And then I had a spiritual mom who told me that I had a spiritual malady. And I was so angry with her because she did not understand that bulimia is an illness. And, oh, my goodness, so much going on. And ever since, I tried to reach out and develop a relationship with God. And I read my books, and I went to therapy, and I went to treatment centers, and nothing was working. And I believed in God, and I wanted God to heal me, but it just didn't work. It did not work. And for me, what I have found recently is, well, when I came to OA 2 years ago, I'm a newbie, and I'm 60 years old, and I'm resentful that I didn't have a treatment plan, a treatment program with the 12 steps to help somebody like me, or at least I didn't know about it, and I had given up. But God doesn't give up on me, and for that I'm so grateful. And I have seen God work in my life in ways that you cannot imagine. I did not do anything for my abstinence. I take it back. God gave me abstinence. I made a decision to get through a situation, and one thing led to the other, and there I was, food abstinent. And I came into the program 7 months after I had been abstinent, but my mind has been clearing. Oh, my gosh. And I thought I knew it all. And recently I decided that maybe I needed to open my mind to let go of all preconceived notions. And you guys have taught me that I seek a relationship with God by talking to Him constantly throughout the day. And that's how it worked for me. Because until I was in prayer and doing the program and everything, it wasn't working. I wasn't making that connection. But when I started talking to God on a day-to-day basis, on a minute-by-minute basis, mm-hmm. I wish, that's when it started working. That's how it works. And I understand it. It's like if I don't connect to my God, not just in the morning, not just at night, but throughout the day.
Fine.
I'm not going to have that connection with that. I pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Irene B. Margaret C., you're up, followed by Tamara C. Margaret? Star 110.
Good morning. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Margaret. Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is Margaret D. in Georgia, and I'm very, very grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater. And I just want to go over this one sentence again about why the reader may still ask why he should believe in a power greater than himself. So if I look at the word, why would he still ask? I have to look at the background history here, which is Bill's story, the doctor's opinion, there is a solution. And what we've been looking at so far is, for example, Bill, who at one point, as his disease progressed, was so afraid that he put a mattress up against the window so that he wouldn't jump out of the window at night. And the people that wrote this book, I mean, that Bill pulled from their experience also, they had been in and out of sanitariums. The doctors had pronounced them incurable, and you know, said, well, you're either going to die of a wet brain, or you're just going to, you know, you're going to be in a nursing home. So at this point, we're looking at people that it's not like, well, I have a small problem, I drink too much. It's people that have lost their health. They've completely lost their relationships with their family. They've lost their jobs. They have absolutely been reduced down to puddles of poo. And yet, because of the power of the disease, they're still saying, well, why should I believe in a power greater than myself? And that right there is enough to make, you know, the doctor's opinion when he talks about, you know, the thought of trying to help an alcoholic. It just makes them shake their head because they know they can't. They're going to be completely ineffective. So this is what my sponsor told me. This is what I did, and it worked immediately. Why should I believe in a power greater than myself? Well, he said to me, my sponsor did, for example, Margaret, you could turn your life and your will over to one of these metal folding chairs in the meeting, and your life would become immediately better. And I was like, well, I don't get where you're going, but okay. And so at that moment, I decided I would turn my life and my will over to one of the metal folding chairs. And I said, well, so how is my life better? And he said, well, at least right now, you do not have a crazy compulsive eater running the show. And that was the whole point. It wasn't about, well, whoever I turn my life and power over to has got to be, I have to approve of them. It's Fine. About the, and with that, I pass. Thank you,
Margaret. Everybody.
You're welcome.
All right. Tamara C, you're up, followed by Gina B, and it looks like we might have time for some more shares. So Tamara C, go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Tamara C in California. I really appreciate the opportunity to be a part of this meeting, so thank you, everyone, for your service. One thing that jumped out at me is the last two lines of the second paragraph talking about electricity, why this ready acceptance, simply because it is impossible to explain what we see, feel, direct, and use without a reasonable assumption as a starting point. And what that means to me is that I think the book is telling me that, you know, if I can believe in the assumption of the theory of electricity because of the results, then it's a reasonable theory. Well, I can believe in the idea of a power greater than me, because how else can I explain what I see and feel happening in my life? Something is doing for me what I absolutely cannot do for myself. So, like, what are some of the things that I see and feel that give me this reasonable assumption of a power greater than myself? I would see these things in others, and now I'm getting to experience them for myself. I'm feeling freedom from the food obsession. I'm grateful for my physical recovery, but even more, I'm so grateful for, I'm seeing some emotional maturity, having better relationships with the people that I love. I'm learning to accept myself and others. I'm not having to stay in my character defects, my resentments, and my fears. When they come up, I can let them go and move forward. I'm learning to feel useful. I'm experiencing more and more peace and joy and beauty. And I have this hope of continued growth. And this is all so beautiful, and none of this could come from me. And so I can't help but believe that there is a power greater than me that cares about me. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. Gina B., you're up, and then we can take about two more shares. Gina, go ahead, please. Star one to unmute, Gina B. You there, Gina?
Hello. Hi.
Hello there.
Okay, hi. Hi, everyone. My name is Gina. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict in California. And I wanted to say to everybody on the call, thank you. Thank you so much for your shares. I can feel being healed and being transformed by your words and your shares on this subject and on this topic today. I don't think that I'm in the place where you are based on the nature of what I could share and what you guys have shared. I'm new to the program in the sense that I found it for the first time in my compulsive overeating diseased life in April of this year. And I really appreciated the woman that shared on being a religious. I'm a Christian, although I wouldn't consider religious, which I know sounds weird and nuanced. Don't believe in forcing my beliefs on other people and some of the things that have kind of given organized religion and Christianity a bad name. So anyway, all that being said is that I believe in God and I have a relationship with God, and yet this disease and this malady is keeping me from him. And the more I hear your shares and the more I'm in this program, the more I realize me is drawn between the two, because you think, well, this should be easy. Maybe you'd think this should be easy for someone that already has. They don't have to come go over. What the heck is higher power? You know, the metal chair that was, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to do crosstalk. Anyway, just for me, that I was like, oh my gosh, this is, thank you very much for being on the call. And it's been exactly what I needed. And so I want to thank you all for being a blessing. I'm struggling. I struggled two nights ago. I had a bad binge and a whole episode. And so it's kind of brought me to my knees, but I'm also looking at that as an opportunity, that problem as an opportunity for just digging deeper with my fellows, with all of you and this program. And for that, I'm grateful. So that's it. I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gina B. Anyone else would like to share? We have a time for at least one.
This is Christian.
And Janice P.
Janice
P.
Okay, let's go.
Thank you.
All right, Christian, go ahead, please. And Janice will be next.
Christian?
Christian? I can't hear you. Please star one to unmute. Okay, Janice P.M., you're up.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I can now, yes. Go ahead, please.
Oh, great. Thank you. So on coming into program, you know, I had an idea of what a higher power was. But the funny thing is, you know, I would turn to it and I would really, when I was praying, I was trying to get things the way I wanted. I was asking for things to happen a certain way. And, you know, if I didn't see things going the way I thought they should, then I thought, you know, that my higher power wasn't there for me, or that I wasn't, you know, praying hard enough. But what I learned from the program, and something that's common to a lot of us who have this illness, is that what I was actually trying to do, and especially with the issues I was having with the food, was I was trying to be my higher power. I was trying to do anything. I was trying to feel like anything was possible for me, which, you know, those are maybe, that doesn't sound harmful, but the thing is, I was blocking myself off from my higher power. I wasn't trusting that he would take care of me, and so I was really beating myself up. But the program showed me that for as much faith as I had, I really feel like I'm a follower, that I still had this issue, like that I still was having this defect where I was trying to play God. And the program showed me how to you know, step back and not try to feel like I was in control, and to be okay with that. And that's something as a compulsive eater I couldn't do on my own. I was always, you know, really busy or always trying to do something and try to feel useful. And I couldn't give myself permission to just sit still or take my hands off and just say that it's going to work out. But the program, you know, finding a higher power and understanding that he's actually managing things. He's got it for me. And especially the things that I can't do, that they're in good hands. They're in the best hands they could be. And he's got me through this far, and he's not going to stop now. And that really gave me the permission to be gentle, and to feel free, to feel like it wasn't all on me. because, I mean, you know, I couldn't even manage my eating. How could I manage anything else? And the higher power came in and showed me there's a better way at life. Not that I was, you know, that I was sick, and he had the answer. And so the higher power, you know, I got a better connection with my higher power, believe it or not, through the program than through anything else I'd been doing. And so that was really incredible to me. Now I have a new relationship and a much closer feeling with my higher power. And it's incredible. I live a new type of life, and I don't stress so much, which is really cool for me to say. Yeah, so with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Finn and Janice PM, you have a minute. Please go ahead, Janice.
Okay, 1 minute. Yeah, let me see what I can do. This is only the second step. So it's very simple, but we're very complicated. I know. I've been around a long time. We're not practical. Now, what my theory, it's not a theory. My experience is to blindly trust. When you go into a restaurant, do you know for sure if the workers have washed their hands before picking up the salad? No, but we trust that they do. So that's simple. That's very simple. How can you explain love of a mother? How can you explain oxygen? Well, I mean, you can't. You don't see it. You don't feel it. But you feel it. But, you know, how can you explain it? So it's the same thing. If you need something because you're powerless, you need that power because you're never going to have it yourself. It's going to come to you through these steps. But this is just a willingness to believe. He doesn't say believe in a God, believe in this. Willingness to believe. If you're not willing, and I've been not willing sometimes, you pray to something blind. It doesn't matter. It will come to you. Believe me, it's a promise. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice PM. All right. So that's all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you all for all your shares, for all who shared and all who listened. I want to take the time to thank Team Friday for their service. Karen B. with the 12 Steps, Sienna B. with the 12 Traditions, Julie E. B., our reader, page 164 is Don B., will be Don B., and Jordan L. is our backup waiting in the wings, Janice P.M., our newcomer greeter, and announcements will be by Reggie O. All right, so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Don B., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then. Don?
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until